Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast. This is podcast 393. We're live at the Experimental Aircraft Association Air Show and Convention at Oshkosh for 2015. And this is the new talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Rolled in this afternoon. It's Sunday night in podcast time, almost midnight in podcast time. And the big show starts tomorrow. So we're continuing to set things up and test things and, you know, just in general configure everything. I am standing about half a block from the control tower, which is the busiest control tower in America over the next few days, actually in the world. That's what the banner says on the side of it. And then over in this other area is a pavilion of some sort, and they're testing audio and doing things over there to get ready for tomorrow. So there's a lot of work going on this late at night here at the Experimental Aircraft Association Air Show in Oshkosh. And now that I'm all set up, and I actually have a story about that as well, and ready to do a podcast, I also have a chance here to catch up and tell you a little bit about what I've been doing in the last week or so, and the air show as well for podcast 393. Well, as you know, I drove out here in the Mobile Podcast Command Center. It's an ambulance. It's a 2000 Ford Super Duty 450 ambulance diesel, and it's a monster, and it's fabulous, and it just runs and runs and runs. And of course, Ed Johnson at xgovernmentcars.com got it, found it for me, and you know, of course, it was crowdfunded, so you guys helped pay for it. And I mention it as an example because Ed knows where to find the good vehicles. There are a lot of ambulances for sale. There's a lot of people buying them. I took this thing over to a friend of mine's restaurant the other night, and her husband was there, and he was saying, God, you know, I have a friend that has one of these that outfitted it for their band, and it's a piece of junk. This thing is really nice. And that's because we looked for a while, and Ed also applied the knowledge he has to find the good cars. And basically, this is this whole thing about ex-government cars rocking as hard as you do, because they are really good at finding the professionally maintained car, truck, or SUVs, and that's what ex-governmentcars.com is all about. They only carry one owner, sweet vehicles straight from the government to you. Now, if you're sick of your old car right now, this is a great time because xgovernmentcars.com takes trades, and they always offer $500 minimum trade allowance for your car, even if it is a clunker. You don't have a lot of cash right now, perhaps. That's okay, too, because xgovernmentcars.com has very low down payment or no down payment plans and offers financing on all levels of credit. Let's say the good, the bad, and the ugly are all accepted, and you can apply online now safely and securely at xgovernmentcars.com. So very quickly, let's review again. Sweet government-maintained one-owner vehicles, trades. They take trades with an automatic $500 minimum allowance, low down payment plans, lenders for everybody at all credit levels and all scores. So it's time to get your butt down to xgovernmentcars.com, 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley, or you can apply online if you want to get a fast pre-approval before you go down there. Chargers, Crown Vicks, trucks, SUVs, Yukons, Expeditions, it's all at. Let's wake up the air show.
xgovernmentcars.com.
So I've been all over Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin back and forth in the last week or so. And I've had stops back into the Twin Cities here and there for various reasons, and then I've hit the road again. And it's been great, first covering two national political events, and now to come to this very much non-political peak of summer event in Oshkosh. And it's just fantastic. And since I just got here, there's really not that much to report on other than they're setting everything up. And I managed to eat some salad and pork, some pulled pork and salad tonight at an amazing display down the little street here. But I haven't had a chance to really get any sound or interview anybody. Just got a chance to look around at the B-52 that is here, that is 50 years old, which looks brand new, and some of these displays. But it gives me a chance to catch up on some thoughts from the road and from the news over just the past few days without feeling the pressure to report on what's happening and get it out and produced, or some political event, or with news stories as far as updates are concerned. That part of what I've been doing is actually really cool. Going in and covering an event, and I'm learning so much, probably more than I could even say. And coming out, seeing what I've seen, selecting audio from the event, voicing, producing, and uploading the thing for you guys has been great. And I love listening to the podcasts that I produce at these events. I love going to these events. And then it's very interesting to me to get the podcast out as quick as possible. And I got to tell you, I'm a little intimidated and a little nervous about a lot of these mainstream national media people at these events, because I don't want to seem irrelevant. I don't want to seem stupid if I have some analysis that is just weird or whatever in somebody else's opinion. Then, I'm sitting out on the deck on a beautiful Monday or Tuesday morning after going to one of these events and driving all night. And suddenly, I start reading news stories of people who are basically reporting on and saying what I said in one of my podcasts, which means I'm on the right track. That's really all that means. Struggling with a moth here. Let me tell you what I've done here. So I've pulled in here to the show, and I'm about a block from the control tower in a very special place that Dick Nepinski, who is the media guy, the director of communications here at the air show, managed to shoehorn me into next to the airline or the air traffic controllers and a news organization over here on the other side. And so I've got the vehicle set up, and then I've got a tent set up. So then all of my sleeping stuff goes in the tent, and then the entire vehicle can be devoted to, doing podcast work and officing and things like that. Now, I've never done this before, so it's pretty neat to be able to just do the podcast thing. But I've got the mic set up and the back door open, and that is the setup for this podcast. And so I'm hoping that we don't have a lot of insects fly in while I'm doing this, because I don't want to deal with that again. Because in Virginia, I had the doors open right at dusk, and it was just full of mosquitoes, and I ended up having to... It took me all night to get them out, and I was sleeping in the thing that night. Tonight, I'll be sleeping in the tent, which has been zipped up, and it's probably great in there right now. But I was just fighting a moth coming in. So I'm standing literally on the back of the vehicle with the doors open. There's so many different ways to do this, but I'm doing this because I want you to hear what it sounds like out here. Beautiful summer night. It's cool. The nice breeze, completely clear skies, and hundreds of airplanes just right around me where I'm speaking from. And really, one of the things that I like most about this is it's a 24/7 operation. So I'm pretty excited about all of that. But I'll tell you, when you go out and you cover stories, you go to events and you cover stories, and I'm talking about the political stuff, it gives you a new perspective on the whole thing when you see the media at work. And this is not to suggest that the media doesn't work hard, because they do. But I've made this point a couple of different times, and I want to continue to make it, because everything that you're seeing on the small screen, and that includes the streaming stuff that you're seeing on your computer, and it includes the more mainstream traditional cable, 24-hour cable channels, and broadcast network television, everything you're reading is really being amplified so much by all of the media, which has to have new grist for the mill. It isn't so much the newspapers, because they're at least able to send stringers who send information. But I got the real sense. Waukesha wasn't so much like that, because there were a lot of national reporters there when Walker made his announcement. But I really got the sense when I was in Davenport that they just set these cameras up and they run them almost by remote control. I mean, there's crews there, but I got the sense somebody's back in New York or Atlanta or wherever, and they're talking about what Walker's doing and saying, and they're not even in Davenport. The local media's there, obviously, and people like me are there, and a few newspaper guys, but it wasn't like the big story that is amplified, the big story, the Waukesha story, the announcement story. It was a little different. There's really nothing to be done about this kind of phenomena where things are... I'm closing one of these doors to try to cut the wind a little bit. There's really nothing to be done about it. I'm not suggesting some regulation on media. I just think it's important to make it part of the mission here at the Bob Davis Podcast to make sure people understand that is what is going on. And that's one of the things when I produce the podcast the way I do. I'm trying to give you a sense of what's going on at the event when it's happening. So I go to these events, And then I go and I speak and I talk to people, or I talk to people via email, or I talk to people, you know, in the way that I talk to people, just friends. And people ask me things about the latest outrage, like what Donald Trump said, or what Bernie Sanders said, or what Hillary Clinton said, or whether something is going to be done about this, that, or the other thing. And they'll ask, well, who do you think is going to win, or who should be nominated or won't be nominated? And then they start talking about who they're supporting for president. And I suppose some of that is just traditional politics. There's really nothing more to that than traditional politics. But I have this overwhelming sense that the trouble is, and I don't know how to say this genuinely and not cynically, because I think it is a very real problem, that we're being manipulated by all this, quote, controversy, unquote, over day-to-day statements. And you notice, I'm not talking about what Donald Trump said today. I'm not talking about what Bernie Sanders, getting yelled off the stage this weekend, because these are things that are going to happen. And then you get to these events where these amazing things supposedly happen, and you find out that it's actually a very small event, and sometimes there's more media, or one-third of the room is media, and the rest are politically active people, delegates, state party officials, or literally campaign staff. And sometimes the cameras, as I said, are already set up for the live shot, and there's no reporter there. Someone somewhere else is watching and commenting and noting. That's going to be something that's going to get eyeballs. That's going to be something we have to put up. Or maybe somebody at a different time will write the copy the big TV reporter will read on the network. My mom's friend was telling my mom the other day that she watches Lester Holt every night religiously, and Brian Williams before him. Brian Williams isn't at these events, and Lester Holt isn't at these events, and most of the time the people you see on Fox or CNN or MSNBC aren't at these events. The guy in the last podcast that was from MSNBC was a stringer. It's not and shouldn't be all about what this one said about that one, the Bernie Sanders thing, 6 or 7 protesters on a corner bunched up to look like a lot more for the TV cameras. These are the things that I'm seeing when I go out to these events. What has happened is caucuses and state primaries, which are really state politicking, that honestly used to be a pretty private inside politics affair, has now become elevated, conflated, really, with national contests and other national and international news of great import. We're having national arguments now about a flag in North Carolina, a shooting in the suburbs of St. Louis, a riot on 5 square blocks in a suburban St. Louis or Baltimore, whether someone who was a prisoner of war 45 years ago is a hero or not, because somebody said something on TV, because there was a riot and fire and something that played well on the small screen. And then you come out here to an air show. You drive across central Wisconsin in the peak of summer, and you see that the corn is high. I saw some amazing farms, just amazing farms. You see these towns that look pretty prosperous, from Wausau to Stevens Point to Appleton. This is a very big industrial corridor up here, although you wouldn't even know it was here if you didn't know, because it's so diffused. It's almost rural, but there's a lot of plants up here and a lot of industrial stuff. And in spite of all this, whether it's Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin now, 2 or 3 times crisscrossing the state of Wisconsin and 2 or 3 times crisscrossing Iowa, whether it was earlier in the spring when I went out west or when I went out east early in the summer, the roads are straight and they are pretty much smooth, and more often than not, they're brand new. And yet when you go out and you speak, you hear people talking about infrastructure falling apart in this country. I see people driving new cars or late model cars. And at this air show, I'm amazed at the major companies that have beautiful pavilions that are serving food. Like I said, I had barbecued pork and delicious salad and some watermelon. And then there is every kind of plane you can imagine, from the kits and the experimental planes. And I heard some grousing from some guys that said, you know, I just don't understand what Honeywell and Boeing and everybody else is doing here. This is really an experimental aircraft company. And he was telling me how he bought an experimental aircraft or an aircraft kit, and he was building it. And he and his friend got a place at the campground and drove up from Florida. because they want to get some ideas. But these exhibit hangars are chock full of exhibitors from my friend Mark Korn's Alpha Systems, who I'm kind of here with at this event, to watchmakers, radio manufacturers, anything and everything related to aviation, and some stuff not related to aviation. People are walking and talking with their families. They're camping out. They're taking in shows. And there's all this going on behind me, you know, as we speak. All this work going on behind me as we speak, you know, to get this show up and running. It's gigantic. It's 500,000 people over the next week or so. And oddly enough, it's kind of like the Minnesota State Fair without the food gorging. Actually, it's better than the State Fair in Minnesota because there's a sense of tribe here. There's a sense of community. People, whether they love to look at airplanes and they bring their kids out, they come here to just look at planes and they like aviation, or they're super involved in aviation and they're interested in aviation. They're pilots or something to that effect. You know, I'm not saying people should turn off their TVs and be ignorant with all this. I'm not saying stick your head in the sand and become a know-nothing. What I'm saying is, and I think some people are shocked when I say it, but I really think it's necessary to keep saying it. You know, I've been all over the country, and I've been all over, really focusing on these three or four states in the upper Midwest, which, by the way, are going to be so important in the presidential contest. And I just don't see the country falling apart. I do not see streams of refugees leaving the major cities and towns because the Supreme Court ruled on Obamacare or same-sex marriage. I do not see an America that honestly looks that different from the American I grew up in. You know, sure, there are technology changes. One of the things that happens is today you actually ask first about Wi-Fi before where the bathrooms are or even look at the menu. Today it's easier to search something you see. Whoops, the door just closed on me. Hold on. It's easier to search something that you see on the road before you decide to stop, although I never do it, and I should because I probably wouldn't waste as much time as I have. Almost any store, you know, carries pretty much what you need, whether it's tent stakes, I got those at Kmart, or loggers boots, I got those at Northern Tool, or a cooler and a coffee maker, I got those at Target, or the really good bacon I brought with me, Costco, or the camp stove I bought at REI. And honestly, the people I'm seeing out on the road doing their thing, they actually seem pretty happy, unless, well, I cut off a Prius today, and they weren't too happy about that. But they were in my blind spot, so I couldn't help myself. So politicians can make a spectacle of themselves. They can turn election 2016, which really hasn't really officially started yet, even though everybody's jumping into the race, into a reality show. And I suppose it could work. Or they can start talking about substantive ideas for improving what we've got going in this country. And this can be a departure. It can be something different, even a 190-degree turn from the course we're on. You know, it doesn't have to be Democrat or Republican. It can be solutions. But I think people are going to have to believe it leads to something, because the clown show could fall flat on its face. And when I talk about the clown show, I don't have a Republican clown show or a Democrat clown show. I have a political clown show that's going on in this country, and it's not good. But I'm very excited to come here and talk about technology and not talk about politics, talk about planes, talk about history, because aircraft is all about history. There's all sorts of vintage aircraft here, from World War I planes to World War II planes to, you know, jets from the Korean War, things like that, and the B-52 and F-16s and everything else. And then there's this sense of people creating things, doing something, rather than just being dour and complaining about things. So I kind of think that the politicians would be well served to start working on creating something positive and talking about what needs to be done and why it needs to be done, as opposed to all of this snark and throwing out red meat for people because it works on the small screen. As far as the constructive, here's how we're going to make government work, or here's how we're going to think government differently, or here's how we're going to change this or change that, and we're going to be constructive and positive, I don't know if that's going to resonate with people either. I couldn't tell you. And it's going to be, it's a question of whether or not there's a talented enough politician to be able to get over that hump and get over that hump of cynicism or frustration and actually really connect with people. Because as soon as you start talking about stuff like politics. You start talking about what people are saying or what they actually mean. For instance, Trump's comments about immigrants, or Trump's comments about McCain, or Bernie Sanders' comments about billionaires. It just, you get into this, I get into this bad, bad feeling because it's so rhetorical. It's all so surfacey and it's all so emotional. My reaction to it is just to shake my head. And it doesn't matter whether it's a conservative or a quote-unquote liberal, which are meaningless terms today, candidate. It makes me feel just gross to even start talking about it. That's why I haven't taken the gloves off and started to actually talk about things specifically yet, because I think it's just too early. I think it's too early in the process. I think what's interesting right now is watching this process work. I think it's interesting to see how the television media magnifies these events. I think that's fascinating to me to watch that, because they're, again, I can't emphasize enough that these are not big events. There's more people at this air show than there will be at these political events all summer for all of these candidates. There will be more people at the state fair going out to get cotton candy and something on a stick in every state fair in the country, whether it's Iowa or Texas or Minnesota. There'll be more people at these things than there will be at any political event this summer, and probably any political event next year. And that's the thing that just reverberates for me. So when so many people are so concerned about whether Ben Carson is going to get the nomination, or so concerned about whether Bernie Sanders is going to overtake Hillary Clinton, and looking at the polls and watching this stuff day in and day out, and observing these events on C-SPAN or you know, taking the live feed from CNN or Fox or something like that, because you want to hear what is going on in Davenport this week, or Des Moines, or Council Bluffs. You know, this is private, largely private, local state political stuff. And these are largely, these are people pretty much talking to themselves. It's very much an echo chamber. It's very much delegates. It's very much political people who are involved, political, professional political people, whether they're volunteers or not. And you guys know how I feel about Iowa making it an industry. And of course, the symbiotic relationship there is Iowa's got this thing going on, and you can depend on being able to get a presidential candidate on a camera saying something, and that fills a lot of time. You can do a live shot from some event somewhere, and if something happens, then suddenly it becomes news. But the question is it news? And I don't really want to talk about it, because there's a lot of concepts right now that are in a formative stage, and some candidates are talking about them. Other candidates aren't talking about them. Some candidates have a handle on how to talk about it. Some people have a handle on how to talk about it. But I think there's this whole thing in politics that sometimes people really don't know what they need until it's given to them, until they see it, until the right candidate comes along with just the right kind of skill to be able to really connect with people. And I don't know if we have, despite all of the candidates that we have on the Democrat and Republican side this election cycle, I'm not so sure there's any candidate out there who has that skill to be able to really reach over all of that stuff and communicate, and be able to having an agenda and being able to communicate a simple agenda that people are going to be able to connect with emotionally, and especially people in the middle. And I hate to say the independents, because they're not independent. Sometimes they're Democrats or Republicans that just haven't decided what they want to do. You know, when I'm talking about the people who are not politically active, I'm talking about the people who wait until 2 or 3 months before the election, after the conventions, and then they start sort of tuning in. People who say, well, I like that guy because he's kind of cute, you know, or I like, and we inside political people just hate that, because we work so hard during the season and the preseason and the pre-season to either get candidates out there or get candidates elected or get people aware and find delegates and get people into the process. And then the people that wait till the last minute. But the way you get elected president is being able to reach across all that, to all of that inside politics and inside baseball stuff, and reach out and be able to get momentum and connect with people. And I just it's hard for me to talk about it right now because I think there's a lot of stuff going on that the issues in 2016 are probably not going to be the issues that most of these guys are talking about. You wait and see if I'm not right about that. I'm willing to bet that I know that there will be at least one event that will change the course of the election. And there may be one or two really big events that change the course of history and would predicate a completely different presidential campaign when those events happen. And I just have a feeling that we're near one of those events. And I don't know why I say that. I just say it because I have that feeling. Now, I always think something's going to happen, but it just feels like we're kind of at that point. So it's kind of fun to come out and do stuff like this, the air show that are, again, it's a different tribe and it's not political and people are talking about positive things and what's new in aircraft and they're talking about building businesses and being creative in technology and all that stuff, which is so important in this country. So I'm looking forward to the air show. So I'm going to take a little time now, finish my podcast. I have to lug it over to Hangar C because that's where the Wi-Fi node is. So I can upload this podcast and get it up for you. And thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 393, such as it is. We'll have more aircraft stuff tomorrow. And don't forget, this podcast is sponsored by xgovernmentcars.com. I can't say enough about xgovernmentcars.com. Theguys.com. The guys at Johnson. I've had 3 Crown Vics. And now I have the podcast ambulance, and they're great. They are willing to help. They're, you know, we had to take the things that hold the gurney in here out of the vehicle, and Greg actually had to cut these things out and this, you can still see the steel in the floor. I mean, we couldn't even get the thing out because that's what it's like, but they were willing to help all that, whether it's a new bulb or giving you service after the sale in terms of how these cars work. They're great. You see, you know, if you go on these forums, you see all kinds of stuff about, well, they're road hard and put up wet and they idle all the time and that kind of stuff. I can tell you, I've had 3. They're great cars, whether it's the Crown Vic, the Charger, the Yukons, the Expeditions. They can get you one owner, government maintained vehicles, and Ed knows where to find the good ones. And that's why you go to xgovernmentcars.com. Just go there. You can apply online for a loan. Everybody's approved. Great selection, and I could go on and on. But you know what? I think I'm going to add to the cacophony out here at the air show, late night cacophony, and give them the bullhorn.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Got to thank the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast.com, Mad K Studios. They create quality, original automotive artwork. Mad K is going to be out and has been out to a lot of these antique stores. If you are on Facebook, I'm sure you have seen Ken's picture of the General Lee, which is at one of the auto shows, one of the antique shows in Minnesota. That was really cool. Click on the banners for more information about Mad K and what they do. It's great stuff. And all the sponsors of the Bob Davis Podcasts at the Bob Davis Podcast. And thank you guys for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn. Thanks for liking, sharing, and importing, and favoriting, and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. I got, I want to say the name is Edith, and if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, $50 from Edith. And she said, love the podcasts, keep them coming, and I will. And the donations, the contributions are really, really important right now because that is what is putting fuel in this vehicle. And it's crowdfunded, so all the money goes to this vehicle. And occasionally, I take a little out for a Komodo Dragon coffee, or tonight, I took a little out for just some cash here at the event. So I report on that for you. But thank you for listening, and thanks for sharing. And again, thanks for donating, and thanks for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn, blogtalkradio.com, and any place else you can find the podcast, because now they're getting to be everywhere. Thanks for listening to Podcast 393 live from the Experimental Aircraft Association show and convention. It is awesome. And tomorrow we'll be talking planes. Bye-bye.